It's October, which means it's time. 31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 podcasts. 31 podcasts. It's El Pozo and Pato.
Hey everybody. Well, today I've got one for you. Oh, I already told you this last time, didn't I? Shit. Well, I read the script for Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian by Jonathan Gems, aka Beetlejuice 2. Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian. Now, let me start with this. So Beetlejuice, the original movie, directed by Tim Burton, I would argue his best movie, that or Pee-wee's Big Adventure. But, you know, visually interesting and crazy, very, you know, mix of death. I mean, this is truly like a dark comedy, right? Like, sometimes I think it's, when we say a dark comedy, that's a thing that involves, like, I found something comedic about the fact that all this shit was so terrible. This is a dark comedy in the sense of, like, it deals with death a lot, and it's funny. It was written by Michael McDowell, who wrote a bunch of horror novels. He was a really good writer. I mean, he interestingly made no bones about, he was like, I write to sell books. I'm a commercial writer. I think that trying to write something for the ages is stupid. Right. But then you read his stuff and you're like, man, if this guy wasn't writing horror paperbacks, he would be so highly respected in the world of books. I mean, he'd be a big fucking deal. He really would. So, he's the guy who wrote Beetlejuice, and, you know, so I guess it's not a surprise that, you know, something that, this guy wrote as a screenplay and was directed by, relatively early in his career, Tim Burton, I mean, turned out pretty good. Turned out great, in my opinion. And I'm so sure it's no surprise that, in turning out good, people were like, well, Beetlejuice 2, right? Let's do Beetlejuice 2. Now, there are a lot of rumors surrounding Beetlejuice 2. Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian. One of the rumors is that, you know, Tim Burton did not want to do it. And so basically, he decided the concept was Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian because he was like, well, this is so stupid, you know, and this will show how stupid it is, right, to do something like that. And then he won't have to make it. Another, you know, sort of conspiracy theory I heard is that it was legit. Like, that was actually something they were going to do. And that Tim Burton didn't feel that way. He just felt more like, well, okay, he had taken the story of Beetlejuice, which is like, it's a ghost story, and it's also got this element of this family from the city is moving out to the country to try and sort of have this more slow-paced whatever life, and they're completely unable to do that, right? They come in, they immediately, like, redecorate the entire house to be, you know, modern and shit. Delia, the wife, can't stop doing her crazy sculpture shit. The husband, Charles, is, like, one of the great comedies, I think, in Beetlejuice is that, like, Charles, the husband, Jeffrey Jones, is constantly trying to, he's trying to relax, and, like, he's trying to do things that are ostensibly relaxing, you know? Like, he's trying to watch birds at one point with these binoculars, right? And he's watching this bird, and it's, like, pulling a worm out of the ground, and he's, like, you know, kind of grimaces, like, that's fucking disgusting. And then he's just looking at the other house, and he's like, oh, good roof, bad parking, you know? And he just can't help but, I think he's a real estate guy or something like that, and he just can't help but basically be working, like, that's just who he is. He doesn't know how to relax, right? And I think that's what's so good about this movie. I mean, Michael McDowell is a guy who wrote Great Sense of Place, and he wrote these great... His books had this thing going where it was like, all right, he writes a book about, you know, a lot of his stuff takes place in the South, and, like, something he wrote had a lot to do with characters in the South, and they all have, you know, Southern hospitality, Southern manners, and stuff like that. And sort of the horror of the book is as those things start to break down and people start breaking the unspoken rules of how this small Southern town works, right? And likewise, in Beetlejuice, he wrote this great character study where it's like, well, this is the difference between city folk and country folk, right? It's not... The difference between city folk and country folk isn't just where you live. It's kind of how you learn to go through life and stuff like that, right? There's more to it than just like, well, you know, you were born here and you were born here. It's like, no, there are personality types at play too. And that's part of what makes Beetlejuice so great. The visuals are amazing. Michael Keaton was fucking great. You know, Winona Ryder as Lydia was like super over the top, gothy. And that was great. So the other rumor is that Tim Burton, you know, they were looking at Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian as the sequel because it was like, well, I mean, that would be interesting to kind of lay the Tim Burton aesthetic. You know, we went a little ways by Tim Burton kind of does this dark suburbs thing, right? This dark waspy situation. And what if he did that, but in Hawaii? Like, that would be kind of the ultimate mash-em-up of, well, you've got this very sunny, very natural-looking, gorgeous landscape, and then you're going to Tim Burton-atize it, right? I don't know. It could have worked, right? So, like, both of the rumors, the primary spectrum ends of rumor are believable, and both kind of work. And so, of course, whenever there's, like, two completely opposite rumors about something, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And I would guess the truth is somewhere around, like, well, there was talk about Beetlejuice 2. He isn't really that interested. Tim Burton probably wasn't that interested in it. At that time, I think all the actors, too. I mean, I think Michael Keaton was Batman right around the same time. And, you know, Jeffrey Jones was in fucking everything at that time. Catherine O'Hara was in a lot of shit. You know, probably there wasn't a lot of star power who needed a Beetlejuice 2. So that's where it kind of went. So then a script emerged at some point. Now, here's the thing. Who knows how far this script went or how far they were going to go with it. But a script emerged at some point, and I was like, well, I don't think I'm ever going to see this movie. It reminded me of, like, I got on this kick for a while when I was a kid because I didn't really like reading, but I liked movies. And in the early days of the internet, you could find movie scripts on, like, God knows how I did it. I can't even fucking remember. But you could find movie scripts for, like, movies that were coming out online, and they're just, like, text files that you could print. Like, I printed them out, and I would just read them. I would put them in, like, a three-ring binder and just read them. So I read, like, I remember reading the Austin Powers 2 script way before it came out. And then, you know, when it came out and I saw it and I was like, oh, this is going to be so great when I was reading it. I was like, this is hilarious. And I saw the movie and was a little disappointed and was like, huh, the script was funnier than the movie. That's really weird. So this is a thing I used to do a lot, and I haven't read a movie script. I couldn't even tell you when. I wrote, like, a short film script because someone asked me to one time, and I don't even know how it is. Like, it just, I spent most of my time formatting it because I was like, how the fuck do you, this is way too complicated. So I read this one, I downloaded it, I read it, and what did I think? Well, it was pretty bad. So the story is about the Dietzes, the parents. And they, you know, decide to open up a resort in Hawaii. So giant hotel, and they're like, you know, I don't know, it's some, I think it's an unnamed island, basically, that may be a fictional island, you know. And they bought the island. They're basically making this huge resort on there, and it's destroying the local flora, fauna, and of course the natives, by which I don't mean like natives, aboriginal people or whatever. I mean like the people who live there. And they do not approve, right? They're like, there's a group that's described as beatniks who hang out on a beach. So here's our cast of characters. Same as the first movie. Mom, Dad, Lydia. We've got Beetlejuice. And we've got the beatniks, led by Chemo, who is like a, you know, handsome surfing hunk. So the Dietzes are on the island. And, you know, Lydia has been at college and came to see this, I guess, and doesn't approve and is still mopey as shit. The beatniks are always protesting, whatever, but I don't think anyone's paying attention. And then, you know, Chemo and Lydia sort of fall in love. And then we've got Beetlejuice, who's in the afterlife again. He's working at a grocery store, like mopping or something like that. And someone from the island, like some old ghosts or something, come to him and say, like, hey, will you bio-exercise this place like you did, you know, whatever. And Beetlejuice is like, I can't do that anymore. I lost my license. And so they're like, well, shit. So somehow he figures out how to get a license. Not really important. Lydia helps him basically get out of the afterlife because she falls in love with Chemo and is like, oh, I should have Beetlejuice here. Now, here's something I didn't like about it. In the Beetlejuice 2, Beetlejuice is like sort of in love with Lydia. Like he's like, I wish I'd married her and blah, blah, blah. You know, and he's like looking longingly at her photo. And I was kind of like, what? Like, I thought he was marrying her, you know, because he was sleazy, A, but B, you know, to get out of the afterlife. Like, I didn't think there was anything resembling love there, right? And in this one, it's like they're star-crossed lovers or something. And so then what happens after that is Beetlejuice is hanging around. He's not doing a lot. I mean, he's basically like, how about you just let me have some vacation time? Because I've been in dead for however many years and like haven't really gotten to see a beach in a while. And Lydia's like, sure, why not? So it kind of turns into this dumb romantic comedy where it's like Lydia loves Chemo, Beetlejuice loves Lydia, and then Beetlejuice creates a fake woman out of a tree to romance Chemo, right? And sort of throw herself at him to get Lydia and Chemo apart so Beetlejuice can slide right in, right? And of course what happens is there's a bunch of sequences where it's like, oh, Chemo was kissing Cactus is the name of the tree, which this was very confusing to me, but whatever. She comes across them kissing, but of course it's like, that was at the moment when Cactus had been like, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me. Chemo's like, no, no, no. And then she sort of forces him to. And then, you know, Lydia walks in right then and is like, you son of a bitch, you know. And you're just like, okay. So this is, I hate that kind of movie where all the sort of jokes or misunderstandings are predicated on like, well, they walked into a room, saw something, and then just slammed the door and left and assumed the worst. And you're like, I don't know. I think that there would be some more discussion there. It's like, you know, I always complain about, like, Meet the Parents or, like, American Pie does that all the time, right? American Pie will be like, oh, I had this fucking, I was eating a blow pop and it got stuck to the bottom of the dog's fur. So I was lifting the dog and trying to get it and the dog was trying to run away and I was holding the dog and then my dad comes in and it looks like I'm fucking the dog, wheelbarrow style. And then the dad just slowly creeps out of the room and I'm like, no, wait. And the dad's like, no, no. This is a confusing time. I'm Eugene Levy. You know, I'm kind of great in these movies, even though these movies are terrible. I don't know what this says about me that I'm Eugene Levy and this is probably some of my best shit. Like, this is where I fit best and it's a horrible place. Goodbye. So a lot of that goes on. And then it ends with a sort of, you know, Beetlejuice is pissed. You know, they find out that the fake lady is fake. He wanted to get married to Lydia. She doesn't want to marry him. There's a love potion involved. You know, all this shit. There's a surfing contest.
And the thing is, like, I think what was good about the first Beetlejuice is, you know, Beetlejuice, the movie, was really good when Beetlejuice was on screen.
Because anytime he was on screen, he was maximum Beetlejuice. He was Beetlejuicing it up. How many times can I say Beetlejuice? But, you know, he was very on. He was very animated. He was, like, talking fast, using voices, just being crazy. But he's probably only on screen for, like, 20 minutes or something like that. I mean, but, you know, and when he's on screen, he's, like, the focus of attention. It's craziness, and it's great. In this movie, he's, like, in most of the movie, but he's, like, a much more subdued-seeming Beetlejuice. I mean, he's, you know, scaring people a little, but whatever. He seems like a shitty bio-exorcist to me. So, you know, the end comes, and, like, Beetlejuice, like, makes Easter Island statues come to life and, like, transport there. There's, like, a Neanderthal skeleton that comes to life and tries to have sex with Catherine O'Hara. There's a bunch of cars turned into, like, werewolf cars. Shit like that, right? And somehow everyone gets the message of, like, flee to the volcano. They all go up a volcano, so there's lava at their backs, and monsters there. Lydia, it turns out, is psychic, which is why she could see the ghosts in the first movie, I guess, but then also can command waves to come. So she commands a giant wave that comes and washes all the monsters away. And the people on the volcano are protected by some kind of golden bubble created by some kind of village elders or some bullshit like that. And then, you know, they say Beetlejuice three times. He goes back home. I guess he's married and his wife is, you know, decaying or whatever. So he's, like, grossed out by her. But then he drinks the leftover love potion on accident and falls in love with her. And ends with him and her at a club doing the Harlem Shuffle or some shit. I'm not even kidding. Which happened earlier. This movie has two dance sequences in, you know, one Beetlejuice dance sequence and a second ending sequence with a dance in it. My God, if your movie has two dance sequences in it and it's not called something like Shut Your Hole and Dance, You Fuck, then you may have overdone the dancing. Or, more likely, let's not blame the dancing, but let's say you probably underdid the other elements of your movie. If dancing is not in the title, watch it. So, I'm kind of glad this movie never got made, because it just seemed awful. And they did make the weirdly, they made a kids' TV show of Beetlejuice, an animated series. And that works pretty differently. Lydia, the daughter, and Beetlejuice are like buddies. You know, and Beetlejuice is like a gross guy, but he's not a malevolent spirit. He's not trying to fuck her or anything like that. Like, they're friends. They're genuine friends. You know, and we all learn a lesson, and we have, you know, a fun car that is like sort of a dog crossed with a car.
I guess, like, there was one part that was sort of eerie about it.
So if you remember Otho from the first movie, played by Glenn Shaddix, who you may also know from his role in Demolition Man, which was basically also Otho. He, in the movie, is like, he gets badly burned, and he's kind of wrapped up like a mummy. And at one point, you know, he tries to come in and break up a wedding that happens, and he gets, like, blown away and knocked over. And he's in a wheelchair, and his wheelchair gets, like, tipped over and whatever. And in real life, the way that Glenn Shaddix died was he fell out of a chair and hit his head, and he died, like, 2 days later or something. So I guess the closest thing to this movie being frightening is an eerie parallel where a third-tier character actor was going to fall over in a chair in a movie, and then that's how he died in real life many, many years later. That's the most terrifying thing I can think to say about this movie. I mean, it was terrible. The script was bad. The whole thing was bad. I would be interested. I probably should see if I can read the original script for the first movie and see, like, all right, what was this like, you know, without the visuals and shit, right? But I don't know. I can't imagine this movie as is working at all. It's like, and I guess you have to consider, too, this script probably was written in, like, 1990. So it's been a long-ass time since that shit, right?
Yeah, 20 to 30 years. I mean, almost 30 years later, I suppose it would age badly.
But that's the thing. I think Beetlejuice is very... You watch it, it's pretty fucking timeless. Like, I think it pretty much works. It's got some effects that look a little cheesy, but I think it still, overall, as a movie, holds up pretty well because it kind of exists outside of our world, right? Like, even when they're in, quote-unquote, our world, it's totally different. And this one, I would say, does not. I would also say that, like, the mistake that's made in some of these movies, like, I think a Tim Burton movie, for example, I think a mistake that happens in Tim Burton movies is when his movies feel like they start in the real world and then go into Crazy Town, right? Alice in Wonderland starts in a world that's like exactly like ours and then goes to Crazy Town. And it's like, yeah, I'm not really interested in Tim Burton's take on, not even his take, his realistic as possible depiction of the real world in order to create a contrast with the other world. You know, like, take Nightmare Before Christmas, which he didn't actually, you know, I think he produced that. But it has that Tim Burton-y feel to it, right? And the world you start in is, like, the Halloween world, and then you go to the Christmas world. So, like, even when you're in the quote-unquote regular world, you're not in the real world.
So I think that's, like, a real missing element from this. I mean, maybe there was one sequence where Lydia and Beetlejuice are, like, turned into mermaids, and they go swimming super deep in the ocean, and they're seeing all these freaky fish and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I could see this being Tim Burton-y. You know what I mean? I could see his version of the scary fish with the fucking light in front of its face. Kind of looks like a Tim Burton monster anyway. But maybe that's cheating because it's like, well, isn't that already a Tim Burton monster? I mean, do you have to do anything or you just kind of show a thing that already exists and say, like, look what I got? It doesn't seem like a good situation. So there you go. I guess in a way, you know, this is a horror thing, right? And the horror here was narrowly avoided. It's like, oh, we walked out of the House of Horrors and came away not totally unscathed, but really just having wasted some time. I mean, whatever. Have to catch up on some sleep or something, but overall, not furious about it. But yeah, some movies are best left unmade, huh? All right. We'll see you tomorrow.